Hello, and welcome to the My VA Dayton podcast, where we dive deep into the stories and experiences for those who have served our country and explore the importance of ensuring veterans receive the care and benefits they deserve. I'm your host, Gregory Tucker, along with co-host Brandon Zito. Today, we have the honor of speaking with Tamara Wilson, an Army veteran and dedicated advocate for veterans' rights. Tamara's journey began in 1993 when she proudly joined the Army, serving as a personnel management specialist with the 382nd Personnel Service Center at Fort Davis, Massachusetts. Her commitment to serving her country didn't stop there. For the past 27 years, Tamara has continued her service with unwavering dedication, breaking barriers and shattering glass ceilings along the way. As the executive director and County Veteran Service Officer with the Allen County Veteran Service Commission, Tamara stands as the first African-American female and the inaugural female executive director within the agency. Her tireless dedication to her community and her fellow veterans is truly inspiring. Beyond her military service, Tamara's pursuit of knowledge has led her to earn both a bachelor's and a master's degree in business administration. She's a published author, entrepreneur, and adjunct instructor, empowering countless individuals with her wisdom and expertise. Today, we're delving into Tamara's experiences with the Dayton VA Medical Center, discussing the importance of enrolling in VA healthcare, and exploring why it's critical to ensure veterans receive the support and benefits they're entitled to. Now, let's jump into our conversation with Tamara Wilson. Tamara, welcome.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
Great. Well, Tamara, first thing that we like to always start off with is, tell us a little bit about yourself that I did not mention in the introduction.
Well, you might have mentioned some of this, but I am the proud mother of, I have two beautiful adult children, one who now is an employee with the VA Medical Center in Columbus. So that's a very proud thing for me that she went on to want to serve veterans, because that's all she's ever known her mom to do. I was born and raised here in Lima, Ohio. And I think you covered just about everything.
Okay. We always like to get a well-rounded overview of our guest. When did you join the military, and were you inspired by a role model or a family member?
So I joined the military in 1993, after high school. Actually, although my grandfather served in the military, it was a friend of mine, one of my best friend, who wanted to go to the military, and she asked me to join on a buddy system with her. And I hadn't even thought about it. I was headed to college, and she came to me and she's like, "You really should consider this." So we started looking into it, and it went from there.
And why the Army?
So initially, when we were going to join together, we were looking at the Navy. I can't swim, and that worried me. And so as I was going to see one of the recruiters with the Navy, there was an Army recruiter that I happened to run into in the hallway, and we started chatting. And after talking to that recruiter, I found that the Army would be a better fit for me.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if you are aware of this, but Brandon and I were part of the Department of the Navy Brandon being a Marine, and I'm being a sailor.
Well, see, I was almost a part of that. My brother-in-law is a retired Marine.
Oh, okay. Next time you see him, Semper Fi.
That's right.
So, reflecting on your time in the military and your dedication to supporting veterans, do you have any emotions that surface when you think about the sacrifices made by those who have served our country?
Yes, they. I have a profound sense of respect and gratitude for those who serve. And I also have empathy for those who have, you know, gone to war, to those wars, those danger zones, and to all veterans, but especially those that come back home and they're broken in some way, and they come to see me in my office and give me the opportunity to assist them.
Tamara, before we continue on, what did you do after you transitioned out of the Army?
So prior to me going into the Army, I told you I was headed to college. I wanted to be a nurse, but unfortunately, or fortunately, going into the military, I did not go into the medical field. And when I got out, because I'm a goal-oriented person, I said, I am going to nursing school. That's what I wanted to do. And I came home and I started working at a hospital. In the meantime, of working in the hospital, I decided to file a disability claim, and I went to the local Veterans Service Commission for assistance with that. And when I came into the office, I sat down with the service officer, and after chatting with the service officer, she looked at me and said, you know, we are hiring, and I think you would be a great fit for our office. And she also said, today is our last day of accepting resumes. So I don't know if you have one available, if you can run and get one. And at that time, I had resumes. I walked around with my briefcase whenever I went to take care of business. I said, oh, I have one. I don't have a cover letter, but I have one. And she said, we'll take it. And I submitted it, and it went from there. I actually had no clue until I needed to file a claim that this office even existed. But that's how it worked. I'm a religious person, so it was all in God's plans, not mine.
Okay. So it was something that you feel was preordained that you would continue absolutely. To serve.
Yes.
And we get that a lot, as far as from veterans who come on the program, that there's that sense of, even after you take off the uniform, that you are still looking at, how can I continue to serve? And absolutely. That just kind of worked. It presented itself, an opportunity. Presented itself for us to you.
Presented itself, yes. Okay.
So what are some of the things that you have to do in order to become a veteran service officer?
Well, to become a county veteran service officer, you first have to be a veteran, an honorably discharged veteran. So that's it. You also have to have a compassion for people. You need to want to serve. Have some administrative skills. So basically, but if you look at, we're governed by the Ohio Revised Code, Title 5901, and the main thing is being an honorably discharged veteran.
And how long have you been in this position?
So March 13th will be 27 years for me.
And time flies.
Time surely flies. I remember when I started here, my office was located in the county courthouse, and I was one of the youngest people in the building. So yeah, now probably one of the older ones, but I love my job. And when you like what you do, time goes by fast. It didn't drag. I'm blessed.
There's an old saying, and that is that if you find something that brings you joy and you enjoy what you do, you never work a day in your life.
Absolutely. I agree with that statement.
Now, Brandon and I, we've been to some of your events that's in Allen County. And one thing that we always say on our way back, that, wow, there's an enormous amount of energy in those events.
Yeah, I've got some more questions I'd like to ask you. So how do you personally connect with the veterans that you work with? And, you know, maybe what emotions do you experience when you see the impact on their lives?
As a veteran myself, I personally connect because I understand what it's like to leave home, not knowing what you're going into, not knowing what you're going to be like when you come out. Coming, you know, trying to when you get out of the military, trying to connect the skills and the knowledge and just, you know, all those things that you got from the military with your civilian life, I can connect with that, probably, which is probably why it's important that you're a veteran to be, even be in this position. As a matter of fact, our office, we do multiple things. One thing that we do is provide financial assistance to veterans. And when we get a veteran that comes in and they may not be able to pay their bills, and I am in a position to make a choice or to decide if we're going to keep their lights on for them or give them food to get them through the month, that pulls on my heartstrings to be able to help people like that. When I file claims, that can be life-changing. Claims for people that have been fighting for years, and once that claim is approved, they get the benefits that they've been trying to get. That pulls on my heartstrings. This new PACT Act that's out that came forth, there's a widow that had been trying to file for these benefits because her husband, a veteran, had died of some conditions that she was adamant about, that these conditions caused my husband's death, and here comes these conditions being added to the PACT Act. And for her to be awarded those benefits after so many years, and the back pay that she received has changed this lady's life. This is an elderly lady that needed to work part-time to make ends meet. She was able to quit her job. Actually, it was one of my other service officers that filed the claim for the PACT Act benefits. However, she and I had been filing this claim for years and years and years. She's probably one of the first claims I filed for a widow who was trying to get benefits for a veteran that died from a service-connected condition. Lo and behold, she was awarded it, and she was given a huge amount of money. Again, she was able to quit her job, and hopefully she's going to live out the rest of her time comfortably now. Those things not only impact the veteran, but they impact my life, and they push me to continue to educate myself and to continue to want to help veterans and their dependents get the benefits they're entitled to.
You're very passionate about advocating for veterans that are in your area, or I believe it would be if you were in any area, that if they're a veteran or a family member of a veteran, that you're willing to go to the mat. Your experiences, as far as when you were filing for a claim or receiving services, that a lot of that passion kind of transfers over?
Absolutely, it does. Even myself filing a claim initially, you know, I had to sit at a desk in front of someone else and depend on them to guide me because I didn't know or understand. And those people helped me. Without them, I wouldn't have been able to do this because I didn't understand the bureaucracy, or I didn't understand how this went. And so because of my own experiences, it pushes me again to learn as much as I can and to try to help people, help the next veteran, the next or their dependents as much as I can.
We're going to go ahead and take a brief break, and then we'll be right back and go into a little bit more about what you do in Allen County.
Okay. I was in the military. I didn't know that when I left, I was eligible for health care through the VA. I thought you had to be disabled or been wounded. Another vet told me I should check it out. Now I have the care I need at the Dayton VA.
Don't wait another day to see how the VA may help you.
I'm a vet, and it's my VA. Make it your VA today.
Call 937-268-6511, extension 2159 to enroll, or visit dayton.va.gov.
This message is from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. If you're having a tough time or thinking about suicide, you're not alone, and there's hope. VA's Veterans Crisis Line has responders who listen and help. Many are veterans or have veteran family members and friends, so they're prepared to address your challenges. Don't wait. Dial 988, then press 1.
And we're back with Allen County Veteran Service Officer Director Tamara Wilson. Tamara, before we went to break, you were sharing with us as far as your passion, helping veterans, and also you had mentioned the PACT Act, where you actually saw the results of this new legislation change the life of a veteran's family member.
Yes.
So, I know last year we were up in your area where we were doing like a benefits and education events there. This year, I know you have a lot of things in motion and in being planned out. And, you know, I have to say, I commend you for everything that you do. What are some of the things that you're looking to do in Allen County this year to continue to serve those veterans in that area?
Well, I started really focusing on outreach to bring people in to our agency, but not only our agency, but to help people. If they come into our agency, that'll give us the opportunity to help people know what else is available to them. For instance, healthcare. So one thing that we're going to be doing this year, it'll be our third annual Veterans Family Picnic Day. And that's something that I started 3 years ago. I just had this vision of reaching veterans. And so this is nothing against the older veterans, but a lot of the younger veterans do not, they don't participate in a lot of the events that we have, or they may not even, they get their benefits and then they don't come back for other stuff. So I get the feeling that sometimes they may feel left out. And so I figured if we could do something to include families so that and to be as diverse as possible, regardless of age. So the Veterans Family Picnic Day, again, we're going to have that June 1st. It'll be our third annual one, the Veterans Family Picnic Day. The first two both were successful and they're growing every year. We're hoping that veterans come out and bring their family members. And if you're a single veteran, it's a great time to connect and fellowship with other veterans and just relax, no pressure. Let us just thank them by providing lunch and fun and fellowship.
And yes, Tamara, we're really looking forward to attending again at the picnic. During that time, they will also get an opportunity to find out more information about the PACT Act expansion. We also will be accompanied with the Veterans Benefit Administration, also the Lima CBA. We would have some of that staff there along with eligibility and enrollment. And of course, the VHA Community Outreach Team. Really looking forward to it.
Yes, and actually this will be, although the VA has been, you guys have been at the picnics in the past, I think this year people are going to see that it's going to be bigger and better. There'll be more things available for them and more opportunities to find out about what's out there, what benefits are available to them.
When is the event?
It will be on June 1st. And it will be from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. It's going to be a good time. We're going to have food trucks this year. Other agencies, people have been contacting us saying, how can we be a part of this to reach the veterans in our community? So there are other agencies that will be there this year that will be set up. It'll be lots of fun for kids and, you know, for all veterans. So
we're going to take this break right now. And when we come back, Tamara's going to share with us her experiences at the Dayton VA.
This is a message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. If you were exposed to toxic substances while serving in the military, a new law called the PACT Act may make you eligible for additional benefits and care. The PACT Act benefits veterans of the Vietnam era, Gulf War era, and post-9/11 era who were exposed to toxic fumes, burn pits, Agent Orange, radiation, and other environmental hazards. Survivors of toxic exposed veterans and veterans who served in specific countries in Africa, the Middle East, and Southwest Asia are also potentially eligible. Learn more about the PACT Act by going to va.gov/pact or by calling 1-800-MY-VA-411. We at VA are here for you, and we're ready to get you the care and benefits you've earned and deserve. I'm Mike Richman.
Okay, and we are back with Executive Director of Allen County Veterans Service Commission, Tamara Wilson. What led you to Veterans Service Commission? Then how did you find out about your eligibility to VA healthcare?
So, unlike so many veterans from my era that had gotten out of the military, I was fortunate to be at a base that they told us to seek out agencies such as the Allen County Veterans Service Commission. So I knew that there was something in my area to look for, and that's what I did, because I left the military, like so many veterans, with my own disabilities and or issues that I needed to get help with. Or get help for. So by coming into the Veterans Service Commission, I not only was able to file a claim, but they were able to tell me and connect me to the Dayton VA Medical Center. They were able to tell me about it and connect me to the Dayton VA Medical Center at that time. As a young veteran, I, you know, most young people don't seek health care because we're young and we think we're okay and we'll be okay. But by coming into this agency, they encouraged me to seek care from the VA. And I'm thankful for that.
And as a female veteran, you've seen the tremendous continuous improvement as far as in female veteran care. Could you share with us? Expound on that, please.
So again, I'm one that I don't have a lot of complaints about the VA Medical Center, because when, and again, this was in the 90s when I went to my first experience with the VA Medical Center. And even then, as a woman, I'm thankful for the care I got. I'm thankful for how I was treated, and even down to me filing disability claims, the caregivers or the people that were seeing me, they supported me in that area and even with my claim. So I'm thankful for that. But since that time, I'll speak to this one thing that I noticed over the years. The VA started asking veterans, and I believe not only females, but also males, they would ask if people had experience with military sexual trauma. And that's very important, because most people that have experienced something like that don't even realize that it falls into that category, or that's what it is. But the VA has done a great job on the medical side with asking those questions, providing a whole women's health center now. I don't know if that's exactly what it's called, but they do have a women wellness center or something like that is what they call it. So they have places and people in place in, that women can lean on more and get the treatment that they need. As a woman, I was just told by, I have a new provider because the other one that I had retired or something. And my new provider asked me about, they're asking about mammograms and pap test and things like that. And she even said, you know, we can do this right here. And that's at the CBOC, you know, that they could do like a pap test. And I'm like, wow, I didn't realize they could do that at the CBOC. But I'm glad that they're paying attention. The VA's paying attention to the needs of women. And they have come a long way.
Yeah, that's great. What would you, or maybe what do you say to veterans in your community to try to advocate or direct them to the VA for health care?
When veterans, first of all, I'll start with my office, but when veterans come into the Allen County Veterans Service Commission, that's one of the first questions we ask. Like if they, especially if they're new to our agency, we're asking, and if they come and I want to know about my benefits, healthcare is going to be one of the number one benefits we talk about, because people, you know, a lot of people, yeah, filing a claim for monetary benefits is one thing, but you have to take care of yourself. You have to take care of your health. So we're always, that's one of the main things we do, is try to connect people to healthcare if we can. And you know, we try to explain enrollment and how that goes, but we never discourage anyone from applying, even the ones who don't believe that they're going to be eligible. We are, you know, one thing I always tell people is don't deny yourself. You don't know, you know, apply anyway, because if you listen to me, I'm not the VA. There may be something that I'm missing or don't see that they will see and get you in. So yeah, we encourage everybody to get enrolled in the VA healthcare system. And we're also very lucky to have a CBOC here that's connected to the Dayton VA. So, you know, we're pretty blessed for that here in Allen County as well. As a matter of fact, one thing we try to tell veterans when they say, oh, well, I don't need that, that's for someone else, I always encourage them to apply anyway, because I believe that if the VA or the government in general sees that more veterans are in need or seeking these benefits, they'll see that there's a need to make sure these things are funded well, because people need these or want them. I've been around a long time. And so again, I don't have to get all into priority groups and enrollment, but I remember when there was no freeze on enrollment for certain groups, you know, and I remember when that freeze on enrollment came about and it was only supposed to be temporary and it's still there. The people that had already applied or had already been in the system were grandfathered in. And then there were people that came later who might not have been able to get in. And so, you know, I say to that, had they just applied for those benefits then, they would be in. And later, if they need them, they would have been in the system. Don't put things off, because you never know what can happen. You know, just because you're young, you don't know what can happen. You need to apply or seek the benefits that you're entitled to. Let, you know, that's not hurting or taking away from anybody. That's letting the people know that these benefits are necessary and they are needed.
We often are letting veterans know it's better to have it and not need it than the opposite of that, of needing it and not having the care that you need immediately. So that's something that we always advocate for or express to veterans when we're out in the community. And it sounds like you're doing the same thing.
Yes. Okay. Yes, sir.
Well, Amara, this has been an honor. I know we've been trying to connect, and you are a very busy woman. So we're not going to take up any more of your time, because I know you have some people out there that you got to get back into the fight for.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you again. And we wish you the best. And we look forward to working with you at the upcoming Allen County Family Picnic.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for always being willing to be a part of our events and coming to, you know, make sure you are there to get the word out and get people enrolled. They need to see you and not just hear it from us. They need to know that you guys are there and you care, and you are there. And I appreciate that. Thank you for having me.
Hey, Tamara, before we go on, put a little context into those who may not be aware of the PACT Act or who are aware of the PACT Act, but are not sure, how is it different from what was rolled out last year? Well, let's go ahead and start out with the purpose. And that is, context is, the VA wants to bring as many veterans as possible into our care because VA has proven to be the best, most affordable health care in America for veterans. And that's why on March the 5th, the VA made three new groups of veterans eligible for VA health care years earlier than what was called for in the PACT Act. And the first one is veterans who were exposed to toxins or other hazards during military service. The second would be veterans who were assigned to certain duty stations in Southwest Asia or parts of Africa. And the third is veterans who were deployed in support of certain operations after 9/11. Now, here's what that means for veterans. If you served in Vietnam, the Gulf War, Iraq, or Afghanistan, you can still enroll. If you deploy to any combat zone after 9/11, you can enroll. If you deployed in support of the Global War on Terror, you can enroll. And even if you never deployed but were exposed to toxins or hazards while training or serving in active duty here at home, by working with chemicals, pesticides, lead, asbestos, certain paints, nuclear weapons, x-rays, and more, you can enroll too. Bottom line, all veterans exposed to toxins and other hazards at home or abroad are eligible to enroll in VA care, and that began on March the 5th. Now, this is the biggest expansion of VA care in generations, and we just want you to apply as soon as possible. Now, again, it's quick and easy to enroll. You don't need to be sick or file a claim to become eligible. All you have to do is show that you served in one of those locations or operations, or you participated in one of the activities that could have exposed you to toxins or hazards. Even if you don't think you need the care today, we always tell people, even if you don't think you need the care today, you might need it tomorrow, or the next day, or 30 years from now. All you have to do is enroll. Then you have access for life. Again, all you have to do is enroll. Then you have access for life. So don't miss the opportunity. Affordable health care is waiting for you. And this is where you need to go. First step is go to va.gov/PACT and get it. That is va.gov/PACT and get it. I promise we'll do everything in our power to serve you as well as you have served us. As we come to the end of our program, I want to extend a heartfelt call to action to all veterans listening. Your service to our country has earned you not only our eternal gratitude, but also a range of benefits and support through organizations like the Dayton VA Medical Center. If you're a veteran who hasn't yet enrolled in VA healthcare or explored your earned benefits, I urge you to take that step today. Your health and well-being are paramount, and the VA is here to provide the care and support you deserve. Reach out to the Dayton VA Medical Center to learn more about the benefits available to you and to enroll in the healthcare services that are rightfully yours. Don't hesitate to take advantage of the resources and assistance available to you as a veteran. Thank you for your service, and remember, you're not alone. The VA is here for you. To find out more information, please call 937-268-6511. You can also reach the VA going online, www.va.gov. Again, my name is Gregory Tucker, and my co-host, Brandon Zito. Until the next episode of My VA Dayton.